I'll be with you in a sec. Sister Faith's actually on the phone. We're having a little few issues, but I can just get the right screen up. So welcome. It's good to see you.
Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining. Till night shall vanish in eternal day. Amen.
Give me the Bible, all my steps in light.
Give me the
danger of being that lamp of safety for the gloom shall brighten. Come on, let's sing a duet, James. That light alone the path of peace can show. Sing the chorus, James.
Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, lore and love combining. Till night shall vanish in eternal day. Thank you for continuing on. I don't know what happened hour in. It's just an internet glitch. But it's good together again. And the Bible is full of real promises. And what a day it's going to be when all we know is eternity. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more hospitals. No more convalescent homes. It's going to be glorious. And there will be Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit to worship in spirit and in truth. So welcome again. And before we open up the Bible, let's open with prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing us the physical, the mental, and the spiritual strength that we've enjoyed this half week, halfway to the Sabbath. We appreciate you giving us the opportunities to exercise faith in the unseen and to take you at your word, where when we do this, you will honor those who do this, though the world know it not, that we're exercising faith in you. But at this particular time, our dear brethren and sisters who have attended a funeral of a dear sister who was taken in a horrible tragedy, we pray that the Holy Spirit will fill the void that this tragedy has left, that the people or person will be brought to justice. And we'll also see the forgiving nature of our brethren and sisters to be wooed to Christ if they haven't already had an experience that, and if they have, to come back. Hardening free love that awaits for them who call upon Jesus in truth. We ask that you would, firstly, we are grateful that it went accordingly. It has been an opportunity to say goodbye, to have closure, and we wish our brethren and sisters an even brighter faith before the communities that they live in light of the fact of a faithful sister going to the grave. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking care of Sister Faye's dear daughter and bringing her home safely back to Australia. I pray she can get back to Perth soon in safety and be back with her mother. I also uphold the dear brother-in-law who has lost his life half a year ago or so, that his desires to live would increase, but especially that the reason for wanting to live would be because of Christianity, true Christianity, that gives hope to the despondent and takes away depression when one takes Christ at his word. Thank you, Christ, for promising to be with every one of us, not just about us, but inside of us, and to give us, to show us things that are yet to come. Help us as we go into the book of Acts to understand the things that you would have us understand out of warning, entreaty, counsel, and that we all may converse and hear what you're saying to us personally and share as need be what you put on our hearts. Thank you for being with us and blessing all the silent and known prayer requests that brethren and sisters are giving to you in faith for you to take care of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what a blessing it is to be back. It was like just yesterday. Now, if I can just get the Bible on the screen. Okay. I can't get it on the screen. Okay. Well, this could take a while. Do you think, Brother Bob, you could put the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 36 onwards? I had it already in the size and made it possible to see the side pictures by removing the margin, but I'm not going to be able to use it today, I don't think. Sorry. Thanks for coming prepared, bro, for James's like myself. Oh, well, thank you. Ah, it's so good to have a third hand again. So, last week, we were discussing how Paul warned men in the church that they'll rob people of Christ by drawing men, people, disciples after themselves. He exhorts them to watch and remember his example that he left among them. He commends them to God and his word, which is able to build up one's character for the purpose of an eternal inheritance with God, along with all that are sanctified through the truth. And Paul testifies of himself before those he worked among that he was not covetous and supplied for himself and others' necessities. And rather than accept support, Paul labored with his own hands, and he puts forth this fact as his defense against the charge that his efforts to spread the gospel were actually motivated by covetousness for other men's wealth, very similar to Samuel. Paul's instruction to the Ephesian believers had been not only in doctrine, but also in matters of practical godliness and self-reliance with faith in God and Christian charity were part of that counsel. And Paul quotes Jesus' two-way benediction. In verse 35, the receiver is blessed or more happy, whether the need is spiritual or physical, but the greater blessing is upon the giver. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So how blessed must God be? There is a joy in sharing, and God's put this in our hearts. The giver is drawn away from his own interests, gives play to the better part of his nature, and receives the approval of God. And we all want that. Okay, so that brings us to verse 36. And would someone like to read verses 36 to 38?
And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they are accompanied him unto the ship.
Amen. Thank you, sis. So here's a regular posture, kneeling down. We are very familiar with that. Most instances, I think we do that. But there are instances where people do stand in the Bible under certain circumstances. What a lovely way to end the meeting with the people and finishing with prayer, showing their faith in God here, that without which they're not going to be happy to see Paul off, because they're sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake. They did take him serious, but he wasn't misled. He wasn't misguided in telling them they're going to see his face no more. And they take that to heart. And they wept sore, they fell on Paul's neck. This is a lovely family picture. This is basically the last time they're going to see him, all of them. But what hope must have been, I'd love to have heard their prayer. perhaps there's some inspired commentary on what exactly was prayed. I didn't find it. But we can imagine it may have been something to the effect that whatever happens to Paul, that it would be your will and that God would get the glory in it all and through them, the Ephesians, and that they'd be faithful watchtower men as Paul had bid them to be. I can imagine the Paul's words would have stuck with them, especially since he told them, this is the last time I can speak them to you in faith, in the faith. Does anyone have any thoughts, any questions, any comments?
I'm thinking about the length of time that it would take Paul to get from one place to the other. It's not like today we can jump in a car and go 500 miles in about 6 or 7 hours or 8 hours. You might say he might have made 20 miles in a day, but when they said goodbye, it was like, that may be the last time we see him. It's very difficult.
Amen. Thank you for your comments. I think the only thing that could support them or hold them up through realizing his prophecy would be, it's not the grave, it's the hope of the resurrection from the grave, isn't it? It's eternity, it's life everlasting. Death doesn't make sense, and as the scriptures point out, it's an enemy. Just like sin was not God's original plan, and it's never been his plan or part of his plan, as we see in Jesus, our Redeemer. Well, that brings us to the next chapter then, chapter 21. And perhaps someone would like to read Acts 21 verses 1 to 4 for us. Amen. Thank you, brother. Coming through loud and clear. Wonderful. I was looking up what straight course meant last week, and all I found was that it meant a favoring wind or tide. And I love how this really speaks eloquently of Luke the historian. He goes into great detail about specific things that if he were lying, he will be not only sought out in that very generation that he's spreading the gospel with this particular information, but later on down the track as well, it's going to be proved evidently that he's made it up. But there's no such evidence of making it up. In fact, the more that they dig, the more that they find in favor of the Bible. There was a seven wonders of the world. One of the seven wonders of the world was actually in Rhodes. It is a 100-foot sun god. His name is Helios, and was known as the Colossus of Rhodes. Now, Tyre was a very ancient seaport of Phoenicia, about 5 days' sail from Patara. And in Joshua's day, it was a strongly fortified place. It was famous in connection with the building of Solomon's temple, and the city was besieged by the Assyrians and by the Babylonians, and was taken later by Alexander the Great. I guess the Medes and Persians weren't involved there. Now, on verse 4, this is really interesting in light of what we've been reading about Paul and his conversion to Christianity. Starting with the disciples, there's disciples, he finds a few, and hence there's already a church there that exists. And this is actually the first specific mention of the church at Tyre, which is the ancient seaport of Phoenice, though one probably existed there for many years. According to Acts 11 and 15, Phoenice is mentioned as one of the places that the disciples went or scattered at persecution. Now, I find this fascinating. We have this man saying, the disciples, essentially, it wasn't just one person, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And is there a contradiction here in the Bible? We'd naturally say no. We have to take everything into consideration. And I found in verses 10 and 11 in the same chapter, the prophet Agabus informs Paul, "Thus saith the Holy Spirit, the man that owneth the girdle shall be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles." And so it's kind of agreeing with these people in verse 4, the brethren in verse 4 here. An excerpt from the Encyclopedia of Biblical Difficulties. I've got a little part of it on this very subject. Was Paul obedient or disobedient to the Spirit when he went on pilgrimage to Jerusalem? That's essentially what we might find in terms of what Paul's already told us he's doing, and as far as we're aware, God has led him thus far and will continue to do so. He hadn't apostatized or said anything wrong. And in Acts 20, verses 22 and 23, Paul expresses confidence that he is in the will of God as he journeys back to Jerusalem. He doesn't say, you know, I'm making a big mistake. As Paul stood before the Sanhedrin, before Felix and Festus, and even before Herod Agrippa II, he enjoyed opportunities for witness. If Paul was out of the will of God, would he have been so marvelously delivered from the violence of the mob at the temple? Would he have been so notably used as a preacher to governors and kings? When Paul was converted, the Lord had told Ananias of Damascus, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Acts 9, verses 15 and 16. So it certainly looks as if Paul's arrest and trials at Caesarea and his later appeal before Nero Caesar were God's means of bringing to pass God's own words. His purpose that he announced to Ananias. That's what I'm getting from it. Paul's attitude in regard to the dangers and sufferings awaiting him, they're very similar to Jesus, our Lord. When Jesus said, I must go up to Jerusalem, and then he tells his disciples what's going to await him there, it's like, why are you doing that? But in the will of God, Paul shows the same attitude. And why wouldn't he be doing that? If he was following Jesus, you'd expect him to be copying Jesus, and it's okay to be copying Jesus by his grace. In Acts of the Apostles, page 396, Sister White says, through the Holy Spirit, these disciples were warned, keyword, warned, of the perils awaiting Paul at Jerusalem. And they urged him that he should not go up to Jerusalem. So she's kind of separated. They get warned, and then they urge him that he should not go up to Jerusalem. But the apostle allowed not the fear of affliction and imprisonment to turn him from his purpose. That's interesting, isn't it? The spirits of what's that quote in the Bible that says the spirit is subject to the person? I can't remember the exact quote. Does anyone know what quote I'm thinking of? Because I'm thinking of this because they're told one thing, but they say another to Paul. They get the warning, but they say, don't go. They get warned what's going to happen, but they say, add to it, don't go there either, by the way, Paul. Did you say the prophets are subject unto the prophets? Would it be the spirit, oh, I wish I had that quote in front of me. But does everyone know the quote we're referring to? Maybe you said it right, Bob, and I'm just not remembering.
I think Paul is talking about that there in Corinthians. But that may not be the one you're talking about.
We'll take that one. That will do, because indeed, the prophets are subject to the prophets. Or just, I'm sorry, I don't have my concordance with me, sir, and I can't Google. Not when I'm on this system. I don't have another computer. So, but that will do. I'm just thinking from that quote I gave from the Spirit of Prophecy. But it's interesting what I'm getting from it is he's had an extra revelation. They have had an extra revelation through the Spirit via these disciples that they're revealing to Paul. And when all things are considered, perhaps it seems best to understand Acts 21:4 as conveying not an absolute prohibition to Paul's journey to Jerusalem, but only a clear, unmistakable warning that if he is not to set foot in Jerusalem, that he is not to set foot in Jerusalem if he wants to avoid danger and stay out of serious trouble. So if you want to follow that, Paul, you just go the opposite, head to Egypt. But have we, and you know, we've got to ask ourselves, I was asking myself this morning, have we experienced anything similar to this where we've understood the Lord's will in our life and then someone says something else and they're not trying to say don't do it, but they're not saying necessarily to do it, and we might, it's from brethren and sisters in the faith, not people that aren't acquainted with our faith. And the temptation is there, or the offer is there, to pull out at every moment of our life. If you don't want to follow God, no, he's not going to force you. Even though it's quite negative. I mean, think of Jesus in the 40-day fast. How often he must have heard the devil, suggesting it, no doubt, that, oh, you know, 40 days are up. It's time to eat, Jesus. Look, you're dead. You're almost dead. You can't walk. You can hardly breathe. It's costing you power. Exhausting you. You look 50 years old and all the sorts of things you could be saying. You've done it, mate. It's okay. It's all over. But Jesus hadn't been told yet, just like he'd been told to go out there, he hadn't been told yet by the Spirit to complete the fast. Paul encountered the cost, just as our Lord Jesus tells us to, and he was willing to risk everything in order to set an example of fearless courage before the whole Church of God. And from the sequel, or from what happens after this, it seems quite clear that he was indeed following God's good and acceptable and perfect will for his life because of the fruits he bore to the kingdom of God. Is there any thoughts, any comments, questions before we move up?
Well, it is somewhat of a dilemma because the Spirit was impressing other individuals that Paul was going to have trouble in Jerusalem. And so they shared their impression with Paul. But Paul himself wasn't impressed by the Spirit not to go. So you have the conflict between brethren telling him, hey, we've been impressed by the Spirit that this is going to happen if you go to Jerusalem. So don't go. And Paul then is having to weigh what his brethren are telling him versus his lack of the Spirit not telling him to go. So Paul, you know, I can imagine Paul is torn between, do I follow the impression of the brethren here? I mean, here's a prophet Agabus telling me if I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be bound. I'm going to be delivered to the Gentile or to the Jews. But I don't have the Spirit impressing me not to go. So it's like, does Paul follow the counsel of his brethren, or does he follow his own impressions of the Spirit, or lack thereof? You know, and we know from other instances in the Scriptures that Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem for different feasts, because that's when he found the majority of his brethren to witness to. So he wants to be there in order to witness to a great amount of his fellow brethren. But you have Paul's own brethren telling him not to go, and that they've been impressed by the Spirit. So you can imagine Paul's heart was torn. You know, do I set aside what I believe is right to follow the counsel of my brethren? And that's sort of where he's at.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, brethren and sisters. 1 Corinthians 14:32. Amen, Brother Bob. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's the one. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Interesting. Well, okay. Shall we go on to verses 5-7? Yeah, would someone like to read that?
Okay. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemy and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day.
Amen. Thank you, sis. That's so good to hear you come through clear. Wonderful. So here we see another picture of the brethren and sisters. We're told that the family, you know, with their wives and children, they go to Paul, that his ship, and before he stepped on board, he kneels before with them, and they pray with the Lord. And, you know, we're not told exactly if he told them the same thing he told the Ephesian elders, but I wonder, maybe they clearly understood that that's what he's going to do, because he didn't say, I'm not going up to Jerusalem. So again, the last time they might see them. Comment in the room, sounds like a camp meeting fellowship. Yeah. Oh, don't you love those words? Camp meeting fellowship. You put a poster on in the room. the verse 7. When Paul and his company apparently accomplished the voyage that's spoken of in verse 7, I was looking at the SDA Bible commentary regarding that. The voyage from Tyre, or the entire voyage from Macedonia, could be referred to. And Paul and his company apparently accomplished the remainder of their journey from Ptolemais to Jerusalem by land. And apparently there's this lovely paved area that they could through to do that. So if I'm getting the right road in mind. Does anyone have anything to add, Charles, to share?
I was reading about the cities of Tyre along the coast, and they said they were very tropical in those days. There was a lot of luxurious green plants, and they were just beautiful places. And, of course, we don't see it like that today. It's desert and hot, and you don't find pools of water and green trees and luxurious plants there.
Well, amen. That must have been quite a sight. Sore eyes. It must have been beautiful to come across it when it was like that, green and luscious, flourishing. Often you hear about these different places in the Bible in the Middle East, and you, like Sister Joan shared, you know, a lot of it's desert now, and wow, and the desert has its own beauty. It's just nothing grows there. And if you don't know where water holes are, you know, you wouldn't want to be living there for too long unless you've got God who's led you out there in the first place. Remember when God said to Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? Would someone like to read verses 8 to 12?
And the next day, we were at Paul's company. We that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as they tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Paul, don't go up there. You're going to get arrested and tied up.
Amen, bro. And of course, they're thinking this is the worst thing that could happen. We don't want that to happen. I mean, how many people, maybe we've said it ourselves, think, why couldn't Jesus live longer than 33 and a half years? I mean, it's so was saying this to him, impressing him that, you know, this is silly. Don't go through the Garden of Gethsemane. This is stupid, foolish. You could do so much more good. And indeed, that was true. So he's using a fact, but then he's for the purpose of diversion from the plan of salvation. which will be right up Satan's alley. Jesus should have went down that area. But it's interesting, Philip is a married man. Wow, he's a married man here. Now this Philip we know is one of the original deacons, and in the list of deacons, his name follows Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And it's interesting back there, he's a deacon, that perhaps, you know, his gifts expanded as he lived up to all the light, as he did faithfully the work of the Lord. Perhaps these merged and he became the evangelist, or was known as the deacon and the evangelist. Well, by the way, he's a married man. He has four children. Certainly, Paul and Peter aren't telling him off for not being celibate or, you know, going celibate after they, oh, Jesus didn't have a woman. Well, time we get rid of this wife and that wife, because there are people that are out there that say, you know, Peter, he was a married man. Yes, the scriptures say that. But after Jesus died, after he realized he'd worked to feed the land, they go so boldly to say, and this is the theologians, to say that he afterwards separated. But there's no such thing, because we don't get it from any of the other people, and it would be strange to assume this for Peter. A question in the room, what was so distinctful about Paul's girdle that would cause the Jews to want to tie him up? Well, going by Old Testament prophecy, to make more visual the prophecy the prophets were sharing, they would take an item or something that God said to do to make it visual, to make it easier to remember for the prophecies that they were given to. And so Paul, they're taking Paul's girdle because it was handy. Yeah. And the girdle would represent, you know, being bound in chains. That's what I get. But because Paul was in chains, as he mentioned in one of his letters, at least one, that he was bound in these chains. But everyone would be a Christian except these chains. Saying to Festus, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So that's that. Does anyone have any thoughts, anything to add to that?
Do you think maybe his dress kind of tipped them off that he was preaching something that they didn't like and they wanted to shut him up?
I'm sorry, sis. Would you be able to repeat that?
I was just thinking that maybe the way that he dressed would tip off the Jews that this man, Paul, was preaching something that they didn't agree with and they wanted to shut him up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the reason he's being tied up. That'll be the reason he's being shackled. I mean, Paul could have avoided going through all that ordeal. He could have in his trials shown that they had no evidence, no witnesses to testify to their claims. But unfortunately, some in high office, while realizing this, some of them like to please the Jews too, because there were those that had a lot of money that can contribute to their own personal wealth. They clearly, obviously, like it is today in our world, there's a parallel I see in that for the Jews, the rejection of the righteousness of Christ was their message. But that's the salvation is found in themselves, trusting the elders, what they say, the Bible or the scriptures teach, and no further. You go no further than what these, you know, commentators say. And so it limited their understanding so much to the point they actually kill the Son of God, thinking they're doing God's service. Well, we're doing the best service today, fellas, you know, especially making sure he's the middle, so he's the worst criminal, and with the thieves on either side of him. Fantastic. God will be happy with this. And, of course, they were right in that their God would be happy with this. It just wasn't Abraham's God. It was the enemy of God and man. In fact, we're told Pilate, a couple of years later, felt so bad about what he did when he said, "My hands are clean." It wasn't enough. His conscience was convicted. He allowed that to happen. He had the power. Yeah, he could have lost his job and that and position, but he had the power to let go of free man. And if he was to be honest with his conscience, he would have done that at all costs. He wouldn't have let the Jews override him and look for a way to make standing up for what's right appealing against the popular sentiment that was now risen up that very day against Christ. But their desire was to make him see, if you do this, we'll let everyone know, we'll let Caesar know, and you lose your job. Does anyone have any thoughts, any further thoughts or questions?
Well, I notice here that Agabus doesn't tell Paul that the Spirit is forbidding him to go to Jerusalem, but that the Spirit is warning Paul of what's going to happen when he gets there or after he arrives. So we don't have a contradiction between Paul going against the Spirit's warning. We just have the issue here of the Spirit warning Paul what the future is going to hold for him, but not forbidding Paul to go there. So, and to me, it shows that the cause of God does not rest upon just one individual who receives all the visions, who preaches all the message of salvation, and all the rest of them sort of support that one person. But God gives his gifts to a whole range of individuals within his church. And they were using the gifts of prophecy to give this warning message to Paul. The Spirit himself was not warning Paul, but was using Agabus and others to warn Paul of what was ahead of him. And it's the same today. God doesn't use just one person and give them all the gifts to the exclusion of everyone else. But God gives gifts to everyone, and they're to utilize those gifts, even though they may not be in as a open position as Paul was, where, you know, he was traveling and was in a whole lot of different countries and won a lot of people to Christ. And we don't find much that Agabus did other than this prophecy here to Paul. And he warned about a famine that was coming, and it happened, but that's about all we hear of Agabus and the other ones that were warned by the Spirit. But they still faithfully carried out their commission in warning Paul. So we also have to be faithful in carrying out our commission or our gifts and using them according to God's will.
Amen, bro. It's like fulfilling or filling up the full revelation without using Paul only. It's wonderful. What a harmony must have been produced among the brethren in those days, seeing the gifts of the Spirit poured out not on one person but on many, and even enlightening one of the greatest evangelists that rose in the early Christian church. It's the same today, isn't it? What gifts we have, we are to harmonize, to use them and bless one another with them, and we'll increase. I mean, perhaps all of us can testify of how when we do our bit, not only do we know we've done the right thing, having the conscious understanding what we've done with what we have, not what we haven't got, how God then adds to it on top of the blessing. and starts giving you more responsibilities, which he wants you to fulfill by God's grace and keep looking up to do so. Does anyone else have any comments, any thoughts, any questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? Well, okay, well, we'll leave it there at verse 15 for next week. Thank you for sharing your comments audibly and text-wise. Oh, we'll be able to see everyone at once. Woohoo! That'll be great. I think I've got my settings on the wrong one, and I can't see everyone. Okay. Fantastic. Okay, so is there any prayer requests, any testimonies before we open up the season of prayer? I can't get everyone's picture. Isn't that strange? It's only strange for me because I'm the only one that's having a problem. Okay. Oh, we'll just have to leave it as is. I don't know why it's doing that. All right. Okay. Sure thing. Sure thing, sis.
I'd like to thank everyone for your prayers concerning an interview that my daughter had. It went very well. We don't know yet. And we're just grateful that we as a family can remember each other in our lives.
Why don't we pray? I'll go first, and anyone that wants to go afterwards, please feel free as the Lord moves upon you. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to meet with brothers and sisters again. I pray there's many more times. I don't pray that this earth will be prolonged any more than is necessary. And I wish to, for all of us, to have a fixed faith like Paul did in the face of even death. I mean, some of our brothers and sisters have possibly experienced something to this effect, and if we can give you glory by it, I know it'll be the best thing we can do, and to get away from self and to give glory to Jesus and his meek, humble life, one that is open for all to receive. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting us and taking our sins and giving us your righteous robe of righteousness, which doesn't cover one unconfessed known sin. I want to thank you for the privilege of hearing that Sister Joan's dear daughter, as the interview has gone ahead, and we pray whatever's best for her daughter will come to pass, and she might know what that is and what position to fill. We thank you for taking care of Sister Lucy after coming out of hospital, and for the second week, and we pray there'll be many more weeks to come, and help her in choosing a pendant so that we can keep a closer eye on her and others in the family. Thank you for doing this. We also want to uphold Brother Elf in Townsville, Eastern Australia, that first of all, that he was able to escape to Sydney after the large flood that occurred in his particular town, and Sister Memory and family, that they were shielded. We pray this shielding will, they'll continue to experience, especially as they continue to live up to all the present truth in separating from apostate churches, which is the privilege of us all to be doing and becoming more mature in, so that we can share it in simpler language, plain language that even the child could understand if they were to ask us. For instance, why don't we go to an established church today? Please bless the present truth literature that have been put in hand, letterboxes, over the internet. Spirit, may you add to it your powers for it to reach the heart and speak to them and help them see that a decision has to be made. And no decision is a decision, that it's not for Christ, but for the devil. And that this would cause them real concern. Please help the dear folks that appear to have or be stuck in some form of fanaticism and yet are not afraid to leave their church, which they say is in apostasy. Please help them, help us reach where they're at and come to their level and work a miracle in us to do anything further that needs to be done to make full proof of each of our ministry on behalf of others in the spiritual realm, as well as in the physical and the emotional, mental. And thank you for doing this. We also want to uphold Sister Joan at this time, dear SDA, who's visited Lucy, that her evangelism, I thank you that she is so evangelistic, and pray that we might be able to have an opportunity to share something with her, and that she will remain open, just as she is at this point in time to receive. We also uphold Sister Ida as she continues to deal with her fasciitis, that the sock and other avenues will be helpful to at least alleviate to a certain extent, if not entirely. And we look forward to the women's meeting starting on Monday soon, in your timing and in your way, so that the dear sisters in the faith can come even closer and get to know one another better. And I pray I get to know how to work this system a lot better than I do, and sure I'm glad to see others such as Sister Faye online as well. And we wish her all the success and anyone else in using the internet perhaps for the first time in their life or their first month, that they would continue to grow and quickly as you would have them to use this fantastic tool in outreach and as the biggest library in the world. In Jesus, we only ask and thank you. Amen.
And precious Father in heaven, we thank you for hearing and answering prayers, and we pray that you will continue to hear and answer the silent requests and unspoken petitions, and thank you for letting thy perfect will be done in all areas, especially in the spreading of your truth into hearts that have been prepared by the Spirit to receive it. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven and to getting off of this wicked world, a day closer to seeing this earth filled with your glory as the waters cover the sea. And thank you, dear Savior, for walking with us hand in hand up that straight and narrow path, growing more and more into that perfect man, woman, or child in righteousness. Be with us as we part for a couple days, and please bring us back together in sweet fellowship. And again, thank you for being the miracle-working God, especially in letting your perfect will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can come together and be heard and to get to know each other and study about the lives of those who lived before us, in whom the Holy Spirit talked to them and led them, just like the Holy Spirit speaks to us today and leads us. Thank you for your tender love towards us and for lifting us sometimes all the time when we may feel down and out, so to speak. Just singing a song about you and thinking about your great love and all the things that people might call coincidences that really aren't. It's you guiding us and leading the way. Thank you for being close when we are sick and for guiding the surgeon's hands and the thoughts of the doctors. Thank you for giving us your great health plan, the foods that you know will strengthen our bodies and make life better. Be with those who have unspoken prayers, and be with those who don't know how to pray, and be with us to open our mouths and lead someone to you, or just live the life that you have given us as a witness. Thank you, dear Lord, for all of this and for bringing us the internet and help us to keep learning how to use it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brethren and sisters. So good to pray with others. Miss it. Maybe one day we'll have a camp meeting. I'm so glad some of us can have camp meetings. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have any testimonies about what God's done for them this week?
Hi, I have a testimony. Can you hear me, everyone? Yeah? Since I've been working at the Salvation Army, they have free lunches and free dinners, like for the homeless people or the community that's poor. So Janelle always wants to go, so we go, and we'll sit at a table, and people will come and sit with us. So I've had lots of chance to share with people and give out books and talk about God, and it's been great. When I leave, there'll be homeless people that are outside the building, and I'll ask them if they want steps to Christ, stuff like that, and they're taking them from me. The people that run the place, they're Sunday Christians, and they're seeing that people are taking my stuff, and they're interested in the book. So I've been giving books to them, and it's just been, it's been amazing. Because I work at so many different places in this town, I must work at about 11 different places, and I'm meeting people all the time. Like, I'm doing cleaning, right? So even though it's the time of day where people aren't supposed to be around, they'll come into their offices and I get to know them. And I've met piles of people in this town. I know so many people, and I'm just, it's been great. I've been able to share with them. Yeah, so it's pretty exciting for me.
Oh, praise the Lord, sister. That's fantastic. I mean, great opportunity. As far as I know, it's not a Catholic organization that has commented on their own, but that is wonderful. You know, you just reminded me of something I've been looking into for years, and that was in Australia they have a place called Food Bank, and you can't join it unless you have an ACNC. And you have to follow a lot of rules, and it's suggested you get legal advice. And you have to have the ACNC certificate to give to have access to the food bank, who sell food for 20 cents a kilo, or about 13 cents US a kilo. That's great. You can reach out to a lot more homeless or needy people with that sort of access. But I just don't know how easy it's going to be. So it's a subject of prayer. And I'm really glad. How interesting it coincided with your story to start. I'll keep this in prayer. I think it's great. You can you're warmly welcomed, and you can share the book and literature.
Yeah, in this town, they don't really ask you any questions to find out if you qualify for any sort of food. They have all kinds of. See, Tuesdays and Thursdays here, they have free giveaways of food. And I didn't know that these places even existed until I got the job at the Salvation Army. And I saw, like, they have, like, three cooks, and they cook incredible food. It's like going to a fancy restaurant. Like, it's amazing. Like, I just tell them that Janelle and I are vegetarian, and it's amazing. And, like, the homeless people come, they, sleep there in the evening, and they have a place for them. They have a washer and dryer. They can wash their clothes. They can have a shower there. It's, I didn't know that this place, they had places like this. And yeah, it was pretty neat.
Can you hear me? Okay. I'll go ahead with my prayer, if I may. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, as always, I wish to begin by giving great thanks that we can call you our Father, that we do acknowledge what a great privilege that is, and may we never become accustomed to it and cease to realize the enormity of the blessing we constantly receive just because we can call you Father. Being regarded as a child of yours, it's just one of the many, many blessings we receive from you daily. Too many to enumerate here, to enumerate them all. And one of the greatest, as I and many others have often prayed before, is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. I for one, dear Lord, know I will never, never, never be worthy of that sacrifice. And yet I don't have to feel worthy, because that great sacrifice was freely given to all of us, no matter how unworthy we really are, and what an enormous blessing that is. And having all of our sins completely forgiven is another huge blessing, God. And what must we do to be deserving of that? Only be truly repentant. And I never have a problem with feeling sorry, and even sometimes quite ashamed for some of the things I did way back when in my youth. My only worry, wonder, is that you can and do forgive completely, provided that we are completely remorseful. And I wish to thank you today, especially for the timely warning you gave me the week before last, the warning that none of us really knows how long we have on this earth. My mini stroke, and I do thank you, dear Father, that it was only mini, but quite enough to remind me that I'm very close to leaving this life after the 84 years you have already given me, and I'm not nearly as prepared as I would hope to be when that happens. I wish to give thanks also for the constant protection you afford us and our children, and for many of us, their children also. We merely have to ask you immediately spread your loving and protective arms around us all. And what security that is, dear Father, what security indeed. So now in conclusion, another very big thank you for all of these blessings, almost none of which we properly deserve. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, sister, for your prayer. I appreciate it. You know, on the subject of giving away food and that, does anyone else have anything to share regarding, increased affecting your influence in the community, etc.? Anyone have any ways that they do that? Please feel free to share.
Well, more on an indirect basis, I checked our YouTube statistics, and we're over 18,000 minutes of Present Truth videos that have been watched, and we're close to, what was it? Almost 5,000 views of the videos. So, more of an indirect witness out in the community, but praise God, it's continuing to grow.
Well, that's just great, bro. Keeps going up and up. Fantastic. Just think how much many seeds of truth go inside a person after so many minutes. And if they watch the whole video or they watch the series and then they go to another one, the impact is life-changing. I've watched them all of you, dear bro, and they're very moving and well put together. And God has blessed you to present. And I'm so glad they still exist. And if there's any more to come, I'm so glad you can have the sermon every Sabbath and make that available too. Although I don't know how it works with this new system. I haven't really looked at that. But is that going all well? You're putting the recordings out like this one, for instance. Do you see everyone when you're when you're listening again, or you just have the audio?
When I put them on the website, it's just the audio. If I was to put the video, it would be up there around 540, almost a half a gig of material. And that can only be done on a CD. But if anyone would like to see the actual video presentation, just email me and I'll somehow get the recording to you. I won't be able to do it through email, but it's available. If anyone would like it, just let me know. But the audio at least is on the website.
Good morning and good evening, everybody. Brother Osoro has sent you greetings. Isaac Osoro from Kisi all along has been battling to join us in the room, but I think he has failed. Probably next time it will be better for him. For Isaac, very well from Kisi. So many greetings from him. He wishes us well. Thank you.
Well, thank you, dear brother. And please give Brother Isaac our brotherly greetings, and we look forward to being able to have him join with us in fellowship. But sorry for that. I was trying to find where the actual link was, and it was giving me trouble. So you're not the only one that has trouble with some of the two pieces at times, but the hymn without him. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, my Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.
Thank you for that lovely song. I pray I will remember that tune. Lovely words. Praise the Lord. They're all true. And as unworthy as we are, it's for us. It's a gift. It's for free. We may exercise the gift. We may receive Jesus constantly. Take care, brother. Liking your new name, TechnoSpark 2. Wow. God bless you too with the sunlight hours of the day. Thank you for coming. Well, before we close tonight, is there anything else before we do so? Please feel free to share anything further. Well, I've tried to remember a new song this week in the bus, and you might know it if you know the words. John 14:27, and it goes like this. Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed, for peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed, for peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed, for peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. John 14:27. Remember it all the way to heaven. Oh, there's such comforting, words when things seem all against you. I'm glad that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Oh, and I should add a praise to God. I started a new audio yesterday. You might know the book. It's called To Be the God of One World. the French Revolution globalized. So I'm up to chapter 4 in Creatigan, and I've done some appendices. And so I'm really glad to do that. The sound is just right. So once again, thank you so much for giving us of your time, and love to see the women's meeting up and running soon when Sister Michelle's in top shape, and look forward to seeing you on Sabbath, all of you. And till next time, well, you're in our prayers, in our thoughts, and our love and hugs to you all. Take care. God bless.
Well, Brother Dick, are you going to dismiss us with your song? That's a must.
That's a must, is it? All right, then I must try. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. There you go.